Christmas time is here. I took a shit in a bowl and pissed down my leg.
No.
And I got some dead hookers wrapped in Christmas lights. Well, it's not quite Christmas, but it is cold as shit. And I am sitting inside of a Christmas tree right now. It's a pink Christmas tree. This is Gem Hunt, by the way. If you didn't know, now you know. It's a horror movie podcast. We watch horror movies with less than 5,000 votes on IMDb and report back on whether or not we think those fuckers are hidden gems or not. And shit like that. My name is Cody, and I have long COVID on top of other ailments.
I am Beth, and I am firmly anti-boogers and also anti-snot.
I'm Buggy, and you ain't getting nowhere in that rug.
Oh, hey. Accent. It's accent night.
Accent night. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I can't do them, so you're not going to be hearing me do no accents.
Oh, there it comes.
That's what I just talk like.
Mm.
What have y'all been up to? What have you been watching? You been watching anything? I haven't been watching nothing. I ain't been doing shit.
I had a 6-movie Turkey Day break.
A 6-demon bag?
I watched The Princess Bride.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that was good.
Clue. Most of these she was part of.
Clue was fun.
Which is maybe it's one of my top 5 favorite movies. We watched Daisies.
That Anything? Was cool. I liked it. I liked the idea of being rotten because the world was.
Yeah, the world really is spoiled.
Yeah, so we're going to be spoiled.
Or ruined.
Too.
The world is ruined, so we're going to ruin
it. Spoiled. I think you're right. I think it's spoiled.
I watched Crybaby.
Oh, I didn't actually get to watch that. Dad dropped off the movie, though, on time.
Yeah, I know. That's why he was late for dinner. And Gremlins, which, Buggy, do you want any thoughts about Gremlins in the theater? We went to see it in the theater.
Well, I was like an hour late.
Well, that's true.
Because I was at work and a bunch of stuff happened at work.
Like what? What happened at work?
Oh, it's sad.
Well, it was holiday season, so everything's crazy. And some lady had like a traumatic event happen. And then she like wanted bar seats really bad, but like I couldn't give her bar seats. And it was just like pretty awkward. And then I was an hour late and I got lost on my way to the theater. But I made it.
We've all seen it before. But the funny part is some of the parents with small, small children obviously hadn't seen it recently because they were like 4-year-old. Like they were like ambulatory, but they were like little ass kids, you know. Somebody, a gremlin gets exploded in the microwave. There's graphic threats of violence against a dog. And it is revealed that Santa Claus is not real. So we were like pinching each other
in
about
that. In the most disturbing way, too, for like a child to learn that. I wanted you to be able to say that because that's like, that was your thing.
Oh, it was cracking me up. I'm just like, why did you bring your 4-year-olds? And the 6th movie was the movie we're going to talk about tonight. But that was my, like, I don't usually watch 6 movies in one weekend, but I just did.
But you did.
I did.
Did you know that Santa was Jesus' son?
That tracks.
And he's real.
They look, I mean, they have beards, I guess.
Yeah, Santa looks older than Jesus, though, but.
Yeah, Jesus is like a forever babe.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
Maybe Jesus Santa's son. Maybe Jesus is Satan's son.
Whoa. Not today, Santa. Get behind me, Santa. Okay.
All right. Well, tonight we are going to be covering a little subgenre known as body horror. It's the first time we've done a body horror film on Gem Hunt. Not that some of the films we've watched haven't had little elements here and there of body horror, because when you're dealing with horror movies, bodies end up getting decimated in some form often. But we've never officially delved into this subgenre. We've briefly talked about The Substance recently, which we watched in October, and that definitely fits in the body horror subgenre. But yeah, never covered an official body horror film. So, when you hear the term body horror, what do you think? What does it mean to you?
David Cronenberg.
I knew it.
Right? Isn't that the first thing? How about you, Bubs?
For me, I think of, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he made Dead Alive and also all of the, like, Lord of the Rings movies.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, but before that, he made, like, a lot of movies that kind of revolved around.
Dead Alive.
Which is.
What's the one with all the green goo?
Bad. No.
Bad Taste.
It is Bad Taste. Yeah. Yeah.
He made The Frighteners, too, right?
Is that Frighteners, Peter? Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't really put that in body.
No, it's
way.
Not.
But that's
not
a fun movie. I feel like that might be an underrated 90s horror film.
That is a good movie.
Even though it was a big kind of blockbuster. Anyways, here's a couple definitions. The IMDb definition, body horror films include the physical and psychological transformation, deformation, or degradation of the human body. In body horror stories, the human body itself becomes a source of fear, anxiety, and disgust, often through graphic and disturbing depictions of bodily changes, mutilation, or alteration. That's a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a researcher and author named Xavier Aldana Reyes, who defined body horror as a subgenre involving the inscription of horror onto the human body by virtue of a change.
Oh, I like that.
Which I think is kind of like a concise, interesting way of saying it,
mm-hmm.
without really like shining the light on the, you know, it's gross stuff. You know, I feel like that's usually what we think of when we think of body horrors. Oh, yeah. It's gross.
Like,
you know?
Snot, for instance.
It is a lot of, I think it's gross too, because it explores our own body in a way that's like very uncanny and uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
where like when you see that you kind of have like a visceral reaction because it's like something you're like weirdly familiar with but also not, you know, you kind of realize like how much you don't know about your body or like choose to forget, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Or how much you don't want any part of you like turned inside out.
Literally.
Ever.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it was the last episode or maybe the episode before you mentioned, you know, porn when you see it. I feel like it's the same for body horror.
That's
you
a know, joke, by the way. That's like an old congressional hearing joke.
I've never heard of Congress. Sorry, or saying, hearings.
Congress.
Don't talk about politics here.
We ain't got that no more, I say here on Accent Night.
Damn straight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, obviously Cronenberg, the king of body horror, The Fly, The Brood, Videodrome, Existenz, Dead Ringers, you know them, you love them. But then there's a lot of other films that David Cronenberg did not direct, like Society. Have you seen Society?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Slither, one of my favorite films of all time. It's kind of a creature feature, but also kind of body horror.
Yeah, I'd say
combo.
So.
Titan.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, that was good.
She gives birth to a car or whatever. I can't even remember. It's a weird movie.
Have you seen that? It's French.
I think so, yeah.
No.
Tusk. Have you seen Tusk?
I have not, but I know.
That movie is pretty weird, man. Have you seen Excision?
No.
That one's kind of a body horror. How about a little classic called The Human Centipede?
I have never seen it, and I don't think I ever will.
What about Tetsuo the Iron Man? I think that's definitely a body horror. It's kind of cyberpunk, too. We have talked about cyberpunk, but I think it fits body horror as well. Anyways, I say all these things to preface the film that we are watching tonight. It's a buggy pick. What are we watching tonight?
We're watching a film called Body Melt, which is from 1993. It's an Australian B-horror film. And my coworker, Steven, shout out Steven, recommended this to me like months ago. And I forgot how fun this movie is. And I thought it'd be a good pick. And it fit the requirement. So I said, let's do it.
Hell yeah. Body Melt. That's my favorite sandwich.
Body Melt.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should also note this is the first film that we've ever watched from Australia.
In our lives. I've
never seen another.
But, you know, there are a lot of horror milvies.
Yeah.
There are a lot of horror movies that came out of Australia.
Peter Jackson is Australian or from New Zealand?
New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondering, because I kind of forgot about that, even though
they're all the same
corollaries.
Place.
Well, tell
they're
that to a
Polynesia
New Zealander.
They're all Polynesia or whatever. Anyways, let's talk about Australian horror. You got any Australian horror movies y'all want to shout out that you've seen that you like or don't like?
Mine are just like the top regular ones. But so maybe I'll say Relic, because I don't know how many people have seen Relic.
Yeah, Relic was good.
It was good. It was like haunted housey, House of Leaves, changing housey. There's like a dementia element to it. It was good.
I know that game.
Yeah.
I wrote down The Loved Ones. I feel like that was one of the first Australian horror movies I've ever seen. And I watched it when I was like 14 and it scared the shit out of me, but I liked it from what I remember. And then also Mad Max, which isn't really a horror movie, but it is like a B Australian film, like that was a sleeper hit that I feel like is pretty, like everyone likes that. They've had multiple sequels from that franchise. And the first two are really, really good. I love them.
And it influenced the style of horror movies, maybe, you know, even though it wasn't one, I think there's some stylistic.
Yeah, for sure. Where it's like, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of unfortunate society right now. It's not a good situation.
Oh, there you go.
Woo dogs. Yeah, what else? Let's see. Where were we here? We got dog-rupted.
We did, and he's still popping. I think there's like a raccoon on the... On the scene.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, we're talking about Australian horror films. I can tell you one that I didn't like, and I'll probably get shit for saying it, Wolf Creek.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Is just like one of those... It fits into that category of movies where it's just realistic... In upsetting and torture-y, where it's like, yeah, it's scary and upsetting, but like not in, there's no levity at all.
Is it a yokel one? Have I seen that?
It's kind of yokely.
Is it based off a true story?
It might be.
I think so.
Yeah. There's a movie from 2008 called Storm Warning. It's kind of a low budget. I don't think a lot of people have seen it. Sort of like a nasty. It's also sort of a weird backwoods yokely revenge kind of movie with some tourists. I remember liking it, but I can't promise that it's actually good. But that's another one. What else you guys got? Any other ones?
The obvious, The Babadook.
The Babadook.
And Lake Mungo, two real good ones.
Hell yeah. I want to shout out a movie called Next of Kin, which I think actually might fit our gem hunt criteria from 1982. Maybe we should talk about that before it surpasses 5,000 votes, because I think it's kind of one of my, it's sort of my one of my classic hidden gem list movies. Anyways, Australian horror films, we're covering one tonight. As Buggy mentioned, originally released in 1993, directed by some dude named Philip Brophy. Do you think it's Brophy or Brophy? I want to think it's Brophy because he's Australian.
Like, imagine how Brophy. You would say it with an Australian accent. Brophy. No, that's not right. That can you like, cut it?
That's like British street urchin. Yeah, please, I don't know. Sir. It's probably Brophy. Written by Philip Brophy and Rod Bishop. Based on four of Brophy's short stories. We'll talk about that a bit later. The soundtrack was actually also done by Philip Brophy and Rod Bishop. They composed that thing, and we're going to get back to that a little bit later also, because those dudes have an interesting story. I want to also mention that Philip Brophy,
I don't know.
I was just saying it. I was trying to, like, you know, put my mind in the... In the mind of an Australian person, how they'd say it.
Brophy. Yeah, Philip Brophy. He's also known for a short film called Salt, Saliva, Sperm, and Sweat.
Oh, that tracks.
Yeah, so yeah. I think this guy has an interest in gross body things and liquids and whatnot.
Like his self-actualization is this film.
Yeah, this is starring... Get this, primarily Australian soap opera stars, which I think is pretty interesting. I don't know any of these people. They do look vaguely familiar, but the top billed actors and actresses in this, Gerard Kennedy as Detective Samuel Phillips, Andrew Datto as Jono. That's fun to say, isn't it? Ian Smith as Dr. Carrera, Regina. No. Guy Gallus as Sean, S-H-A-A-N, not Sean like the good old American S-E-A-N, or the other one. And then you can't forget old Vincent Gill as Pud.
Pud.
We got a character named Pud in this movie. Very good.
Go, Pud.
So, where can you watch this son of a bitch? It's on Shudder. It's on AMC Plus, which, let's just be honest, AMC Plus and Shudder are like the same thing now. Eventually, they're just going to roll together into one gross blob.
There'll be one gross, channel called Amazon.
Gross, slimy, snotty blob.
Yeah,
AMC Theaters on Demand, Tubi, Amazon, Fandango, and there are DVDs and Blu-rays available. You could check your local movie store if you like to pick up them physical medias. So what's this movie about over there?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Memories, I've been like accent night. No,
I can't. Not the, I can't concentrate on the accent and the plot. There's a lot to cover, and I'm not going to do what I did with Mad Monster Party. I got hate from it, specifically from my mom.
Oh my god. Constructive.
That's
constructive.
Her job.
She hated on me. Criticism. That is true. She's allowed to hate on me, but she did. But also I think it's more fun to go into this movie not knowing exactly like everything that's going to happen. This is one of those like it's kind of fun to be surprised things. But like the basic plot of this revolves around this like little community in Holmesville, Australia, and it's called Pebbles Court. And sort of like the mysterious experiments this like elusive pharmaceutical company called Vmuville, I think is how you say it. They are being experimented on by this pharmaceutical company with these vitamins. And like a lot of people in Pebbles Court are taking the vitamins, and also they're being like constantly monitored by this like corporation as well. And Sean, the girl in this that you mentioned in like the starring roles, she's like sort of the main villain, like the film. Well, not the main villain, but I would say like the figurehead for this company.
She's not only a girl, she's also a doctor.
She's a villain too.
And a woman.
Women can be villains too.
And doctors.
And a doctor. Not a nurse. Anyway, like the movie opens up with like this retro ad that's like all about sort of the community, which is like the suburban resort community, and she's there just talking about how great it is and how everyone's gonna love it and it's the best. And then immediately we cut to like this crazy neon room where people are doing hella drugs, just a bunch of drugs.
It also opens with peen, if I remember correctly.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Does it open with peen or is,
yeah,
is
there
it just
was a little bit of everything right at the beginning?
At the beginning, I thought there was just boob. But yeah, it opens with some naked action and some drug action. But it's not exactly like it looks like at first glance, you know, like heroin or something. But it ends up being this weird like supplement that is also from this pharmaceutical company. But this introduces like one character that's integral to the plot in a way. His name's Ryan. He's getting this like injection.
That's whose dick you see.
That's whose that's whose peen you peep. Yeah, for sure. And poor Ryan, unfortunately, got sort of like double crossed because he's been sort of feeling conflicted about the ethics of this experiment. And he wants to sort of like break out and spread the word about the fact that Pebbles Court is actually kind of, they're, everyone in it are guinea pigs for this weird drug that has not been properly tested or like controlled in any way or regulated. Like this is some crazy shit.
That's our future.
It's our future. And he ends up again getting injected with a version of this that is particularly strong because they want him dead. They want him gone out of the picture. And that leads to him dying. He crashes into Pebbles Court, not before leaving us with a wonderful message regarding the effects of the drug, in which he says the first stage is hallucinogenic, the second is glandular, and the third phase is which I really enjoyed. That made me laugh.
The first phase is hallucinogenic. The second phase is glandular. The third phase is...
And then, yeah, he dies. And we sort of learn in that moment, too, that this is not any, like, regular, just, like, wacko drug. This is actually, like, some some shit. This is some parasitic, like alien, something is going on because a bunch of tentacles erupt from his throat as he dies. And that sort of kickstarts the main plot because obviously everyone on Pebbles Court kind of peeps that things are not right. The main detectives of this film, I think their names are Johnson and Phillips, but I might be wrong. One of them's a sergeant. One of them's a detective.
Yeah, Phillips is definitely.
I think he's the detective. And whatever, they are sort of on the case. They find the recording. And then we get introduced to two characters who have quite an unfortunate fate, Gino and Sal. And they go on their own adventure where they road trip. And that's sort of, this is when a lot of, and this is what I was conflicted about, is I wanted to talk about some of the interesting plot points, but there's a lot to cover. And they all kind of like connect sort of randomly as it goes on. But like Gino and Sal aren't necessarily integral to the plot. Like they're not main characters, but they're also important. Like their journey to where they're going to like donate sperm also. Like someone dies.
And a lot of fluids in this.
Anyway, we're going to go donate sperm to this company because we'll make a lot of money. And they like bust their windshield and get stranded at this family's house. And I'm sure everyone has a lot of thoughts about the family because that was definitely.
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
I forgot kind of how intense that got. There's a lot of action in that family. There's like some kangaroo hunting, some romance that ends tragically, sort of a Romeo and Juliet situation.
Oh, yeah.
But not exactly. But it introduces a very important character whose name is Pud. And he's very important to the plot because he has something to do with this new drug that has been manufactured.
Wait, is Pud's not the dad,
Pud.
Though? He's the one of the sons?
No, he's the patriarch.
Oh, the Pud
sons
is the
are
dad.
Like splatting.
Yeah, literally.
Or something. Goo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pud's the head.
Okay, okay.
And he's like a mad scientist. And sort of as like Sal and Gino were like being, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, it's yokels.
Like,
that's not a spoiler. It's a yokel situation.
It is definitely like not great. We sort of learn bit by bit that Pud has something to do, a much bigger role in sort of the bigger issues regarding Pebbles Court. And then from there, you know, shit just kind of hits the fan. The detectives are like slowly getting more information. They're trying to investigate the sort of suspicious death regarding like Ryan crashing into the fucking houses. And there's a lot of just like random characters who have their own side plots. I want to highlight Paul, his weird hallucinations that have to do with like the woman with the really beat up face.
Oh yeah. These are all people who live on Pebbles Court.
Yes. All of that's the big main connector, is they're the ones who are testing out this new vitamin. It's going to go out to like a larger, you know, like for like all consumers. Like it's not just going to be for this specific for Holmesville. It's not going to just be for this town, but they're testing it out. And Paul has these really interesting hallucinations that actually kind of scared me, honestly. Mm. And they get pretty trippy, too. There's some symbolism with ribs and stuff, and it doesn't really, like, go anywhere.
Oh, yeah, there's some, like, Adam and Eve rib shit.
No, yeah, right. Like, yeah. I wrote it down. It's like, he has this hallucination where this woman is following him, and that's, like, the first stage of this, you know, drug. And she ends up taking his rib, and she says that she's collected 12 other ribs.
Right. He's the 13th male
and
rib.
I was like, where is this going to go? It doesn't go anywhere. It's just his hallucination, because that's also what it was saying, too, is like, I'm your worst fears actualized, and also your like darkest desires or whatever.
But it's sexy, too.
It is sexy. It's very sexual. This movie does get, like, they really try to blend, like, sexy with all of this, like, gross, nasty stuff going on. Like, there's a couple of tragic sex scenes, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's stuff I missed that we can all talk about collectively, but I don't want to say too much else. There's a couple of things I want to highlight. Skateboard Nightmare, for one. Killer Baby, that was a good one. And then also Exploding Wiener. Those were some highlights of the movie
for
me.
Yeah, there's a boner that explodes.
Yeah, and also Long Big Tongue. That was another one. And I just wrote that. Didn't elaborate on that at all. But yeah, those were some fun body horror moments that I enjoyed. And overall, I feel like the movie is like a pretty fun like goofy, not taking itself too seriously, just like gross out film.
One thing I want to say is that one of the subjects on Pebbles Court is pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. But also, I just want to know what other people think about this. They have on their car a sticker that says baby on the way. So it's not even a baby on board yet.
It's baby on the way.
Baby on the way. So, like, what kind of special privileges does that grant you?
I don't know. I guess, like, be careful. My wife's pregnant. Is that the vibe?
Mm.
Like, don't act a fool.
Yeah, and have those stickers ever
worked?
Means
you can drink and drive.
Yeah, oh, yeah, maybe that's it's like your special license where you can drink and drive. Yeah,
my wife's pregnant.
Now it's been explained.
That I was going to mention it, but that's just, yeah, killer baby moment. There's a lot of separate unfortunate occurrences on, Pebbles Court that are awesome and also gross. And these poor, poor residents really get put through the ringer, really to no avail. Like it doesn't, they are just, you know, kind of fucked over in every way possible.
You don't think it's worth it in the name of science?
No, because not even the scientists are like confident, like what they're doing.
Yeah, they don't really feel like they're doing much science. They're just trying to pump out some stuff.
Yeah. I don't even know like what they were thinking. Like what their plan was.
Money, I think, yeah. Right?
And like utopia, but it's like mass just marketing. Not working at all.
Well, so as we noted, there's a lot of like gross side effects stuff. And I want to get into that, but I know you had something you wanted to read about.
Speaking of it being body horror, it's literally just like from the Wikipedia, the like description of some of the stuff that happens. I think it captures it pretty well. This is some of the effects of the pills. Liquefying flesh, elongated tongues, exploding stomachs, exploding penises, imploding heads, monstrous births, tentacles growing out of the face, living mucus, sentient placentas, and other gruesome transmutations.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
They get put through the ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, you know, if you're a big practical effect, rubber makeup effects and liquids and all of that good old school stuff, I think you would probably enjoy this. What are your favorite side effects in this? Because as we noted, there are a lot of different ones, which I have thoughts about that as well. But it seems to be the center of this, kind of the centerpiece of this movie is all the gross side effects. What do you like?
I mean, boner explode.
I loved the explosion.
Because it was like, oh my God. Because he's like watching a porn, right?
Yeah, well, like barely turns it on. Because his girlfriend and she wants to go to breakfast.
Yeah, she wants to eat first.
And he's like so buff, he can't even like sit down properly. That was another thing. There's a lot of beefcakes in this movie where you can tell like it hurts them too.
And we always joke, you know, like anytime, I don't know, I'm always like, oh, it's going to be a boner. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's a boner. And then it was like, oh my God, the boner was gonna explode, and I was kidding.
Then
I was like, "Oh shit, it
really
is." And
then the boner exploded.
So it paid off. There was an exploding boner.
Yeah, that was funny. I didn't really enjoy the pregnancy one as much. I felt kind of bad, honestly. Like,
I liked that one.
That one was fun, but I was just like, "Damn." And also, like, what's his name? Brian. He got, like, blamed for
Oh, right.
Too.
The
like,
father got, of like, the baby. It was because what else would you, like, a pregnant woman gets, like, fucking mutilated.
Yeah, but
usually
like,
her husband.
The placenta, like, went down his mouth and shit. Like,
yeah, it was very, like, alien face hugger, except it was a placenta, which I thought that was kind of fun.
It was weirdly intense, too. Like, that moment, like, was kind of, there was a couple of parts of it where I was like, whoa, I forgot. This kind of gets, like, intense for a second.
I mean, we're talking about the side effects, and I want to hear yours, your favorite too, Cody, but I think maybe we didn't quite fully explain that it's like these drugs, they have all these side effects, but the point of them is to like optimize you as a human. So yeah, there's all these fucking
like
buff people
fad.
And it's a health farm.
Yeah.
And
it's
so
like vitamin supplements that are meant to like be like the future of like, you know, fitness. It's very like focused on like also, again, like maintaining this perfect like suburban image, like it's like gyms, pools.
Right. It's like suburban fitness, running, jogging, headphones, Walkman. But what's your favorite one?
As I mentioned, I like the baby scene.
You would.
I like the opening scene with the dude who like goes into the the market and drinks a bottle of detergent and then ends up crashing his car. And I think he has some tentacles that comes out of his chest wound or whatever. That's a good opening scene. But I also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the rollerblade crash. So we get a dead kid.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and yeah. That's how 90s this movie is that we get a whole scene of a kid shredding a half pipe on his rollerblades before falling to his death.
Yeah.
No, he's on roller boots.
Much he 90s. Smashes his face, too.
Yeah, there's a family at the health. So there's a family of four that's from Pebbles Court that goes to the actual location. Yeah, that's pretty...
Yeah, fantastic.
It's pretty.
It's very pretty. Yeah, the long tongue thing is pretty interesting, too, because it's just a little bit different. And it's sort of one of the more subtle effects, but it still it has an impact.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some stuff about what you can anticipate if you're going into this gross thing. Yeah. But there are other things also. So this is a satire on suburban living, as well as the health industry and fitness fads, specifically health supplements, and kind of the preposterous idea that you can just blast a bunch of supplements into yourself and make yourself optimal, as you noted. But do you remember, and I guess they're still around, but it seemed like they used to be around more often. There was just like GNCs everywhere,
dude, yeah.
And then like supple super mints. I mean, you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. That's where you get the golden seal to pass your drug tests.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only time I've ever been in a GNC.
But I have set up an exclusive dealership with one of the largest chain stores in this country.
If we delay delivery of the first bulk ship...
Fuck the chain store! What about the cops?
In terms of satire, how do you think this... does this is this a good satire, or is it just kind of a loose blanket and an excuse to show a bunch of gross stuff?
I mean, I thought it was funny. Like I remembered enjoying myself and being like, "How is this funny?" And I thought it was like goofy, and I thought it had like a good balance of being gross and then also having like kind of a real plot. I mean, it is just like a bunch of nonsense, but there's also like a plot.
Yeah, in terms of plot, it tied itself together way more neatly than I thought. I think for me, the thing about satire is usually like you got to ride that edge between something that could possibly happen and something ridiculous. And I think the ridiculous meter is maybe a little bit high for me to even like I didn't even really think of it as a satire till later, because it was like so gross and over the top that you're not thinking about what is the like political cultural significance. I don't know though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I guess, yeah, like does satire mean specifically like a commentary on like some like larger thing?
Yeah, generally. It's and like it can be funny, it can be comedic, or it can be really harsh. Some satires aren't funny at all, but you know, typically I always like to throw out The Simpsons as a satire example, because they're kind of, you know, satirizing a lot of things, but it's pretty light on the scale of harsh satire, and it brings in more humor than some other things. Like, okay. What the hell is that? A Modest Proposal. Have you ever read A Modest Proposal? That's kind of one of the old school satire examples.
I would say this maybe like isn't satire then, like, because I didn't really like think of a greater, larger like message or commentary. I thought it was kind of like poking fun at like diet culture.
It is, but so satire is like you take a thing that's real and you blow it up to a scale where it's so ridiculous that it like shines a spotlight on how ridiculous the actual thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so this is definitely doing that. I just think it like maybe tips so far into the grotesque that I don't know. I'm not saying, I just don't know if you could be like, oh yeah, what biting social commentary?
No, I agree. Like, I you're focused on like the exploding penises.
Yeah,
the
bonobos.
And having a good time with that.
Maybe we just don't understand Australia, man.
That's true. Okay, so one thing about Australia. Is Australia Texas? I feel like as
the world's Texas.
Desert Russia.
Like if the world was the United States.
Yeah.
Australia would be Texas.
No, it's not.
Just as someone who lived in Texas for 10 years, I just always feel like Australia has big Texas energy.
I love Australia. They do this thing in their like government where they choose just like a random person basically every 2 years. And the like idea behind it is like, let everyone have their turn. So they have like
to do what?
Like, it's prime minister, right? That's, they don't have a president. They have prime minister. Right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they choose a random person.
But it's just like, it's like everyone gets their chance.
Oh, you mean you only get a 2-year term, yeah, and that's
but
it?
But like, they cycle through and they're not like super like partial to any specific person.
So it's, you're saying it's like less of like how we have a 2-party system. Yeah. There's not like a machine behind each.
They're more like lax about it, where they're like, everyone gets a chance to like say their piece, basically, is the vibe. Yeah. I'm not saying that like that's the general vibe of Australia, but that's just like a fun fact I learned about recently.
They have like 35 kangaroos elected to
I'm really the national government.
They'll kick your ass. They will beat your ass.
They will drown you. They will drown you. Is
don't
what
say anything
do.
More about kangaroos drowning things, please.
It scares me. Yeah. And I feel like I only know like Australia in the scope of like TikTok memes. Like, that's really like all I know. I like have seen clips of like funny stuff from Australia and that's it. So I don't really have a great reference point.
Well, I think Australia always feels like Texas to me. When I watch something Australian, I'm like, it's Texas. Yeah. But sorry, I kind of derailed us.
That's okay. Here's a couple questions, kind of on the satire tip, kind of just random. Why do all these people in this neighborhood just take the vitamins that showed up in their mailbox?
They like come in the mailbox and they take them because they want to be optimized. I don't know.
Yeah. And they have like this blind trust already in like this organization, because they're sort of like, isn't it like, I don't know if they're paid to live in those houses or if it's like a like lower price,
like a
because
company
they're like
town or something.
They're like, yeah, like experimenting on like building this like utopian like environment. So I figured they just had like blind trust in these people because they had already been like, okay, we live in this like cute little cul-de-sac that they like created, and they're giving us their cool vitamins and shit.
And maybe, you know, it does start with the commercials. So maybe it's like advertising saturation.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, like, oh yeah, I saw this on TV. And it's like 93, so it's like, you know, a little, yeah, media trust was much higher than it is now, I would imagine.
Do you think all the inclusion of the yokel shit is like an on-the-nose contrast with the suburban fake people? Or do you think it was just a fun twist in the movie to like throw in this like wild backwood yokel side story? Like we mentioned, it does end up tying back in, but it definitely feels kind of random when you're in it.
I'll go back. I just feel like in Texas, sometimes it feels like there's suburban shit and there's yokels.
Nobody gives a shit about Texas anymore.
I know, I'm done.
That's weird, but I was thinking about that as like, because that is a big thing, is like people think when they think Texas, they think either a city or they think backwoods.
But not
shit.
City, it's like strip mall. But that's not how everyone really lives, but I just think it's like there are people like who live like us who are just like living and walking around and doing stuff, but there's also this like car suburb culture, and then there's this like yokel culture. So I think maybe it might be intentional.
I think it is, but maybe like you don't really like think that, you know, at first you're not like thinking like, oh, this has like a, and maybe, you know, as an Australian watching, like you'd be more like familiar. Like, I feel like there are just also some like social cues that I'm just not like keen on.
Or maybe it's like, okay, I have an idea. Here's the yokels to freak you out, but it turns out that actually this other shit is the real villain.
But the yoke, like that woman murdered someone.
Yeah, she did. But the drug company murders multiple people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't think it was like, they're not the villains of the story.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't
are
know.
You trying to tell me the Sacklers are bad people?
Well, they have done a lot of philanthropic things. Do you know who the Sacklers are? The OxyContin family.
Oh.
And they, like, they're, like, hiding all their money so they actually aren't liable for all the fucking havoc they've wreaked on our country. But, you know, they, like, dedicate wings a museum to themselves and anyway.
Yeah.
No, they're great. Sackler's great.
Sackler.
Gem Hunt, sponsored by OxyContin.
I wish we were just getting those. If those were popping up in my mailbox, I'd be eating them for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this movie was directed by Philip Brophy, as we noted earlier. I'm going to keep saying Brophy because I don't care. And it's based off the script that he wrote with his very, very good best friend of all time, Rod Bishop. I have no idea if they're actually friends, but they were both members of an Australian experimental art punk band called, not to be confused with Chick, 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 which is the three exclamation point band. Mm-hmm. This is visually depicted as right facing arrow, upward facing arrow, right facing arrow. So that's their name. And I feel like when you're dealing with a group of dudes that named their band that, you know you're kind of going to be in for something weird. But yeah, I checked out a little bit of their music, and I'll put in a couple clips if I can find some stuff. Listening to the soundtrack of this movie, it's pretty fascinating because I feel like you can hear the influence of the band on the movie. But like I noted earlier, this dude, Philip Brophy, did a lot of stuff beyond just directing films. He was a musician, a composer, a sound designer, a filmmaker, a writer, apparently an educator as well. So he was kind of all over the place. And I would actually say that probably his film work is one of the least prolific areas that he worked in. I think music and all of that was probably a bit more. But I just wanted to note that because I thought that was interesting. I always think it's interesting when there's people that kind of break into the film scene that are musicians or other types of artists and kind of try to transition over there. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Did you notice how weird? Because Cody and I, when we were watching it, we definitely like, we're like, what the fuck is this soundtrack? Did you have that experience?
No, like the soundtrack's whack. And that's also what I like about the movie. Like it all like works really well together in this very.
Because you're like, what is like, and then like some other totally different genre.
Yeah, cheesy like 90s techno. And then it jumps over to like just some weird kind of like, I don't know, it's actually hard to explain some of it.
Like, there's a jazziness sometimes, experimental sounds. I don't know. Yeah, we were like
garage what? Sounds yeah. sometimes in this, like, weird way.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right, so the structure of this film, as we noted, goes in a lot of different directions. So it's kind of hard to, well, there is sort of like an overarching narrative or theme. You get have these characters that are going in like different directions kind of on their own adventures. So it is kind of hard to explain it in just like a point A to point B to end.
Yeah.
But I do think this is interesting because, as I noted, this was based on the director's four short stories, and they all kind of dealt with this similar theme. My thought watching this and then learning that later is that it made sense the way the film feels, knowing that it was based on four separate short stories that then kind of came together. What did you feel about the structure? Because it was one of the things I struggled with a little bit.
No, I mean, I think that was like the hardest part, especially for like trying to make a concrete summary. I was like, how am I going to explain any of this? I just hit the microphone. I'm sorry. Sorry, microphone. How am I going to explain any of this in like a way where it's not me blabbering for 40 minutes about everything that happened? But I don't know. I kind of didn't mind the structure. I think it kind of depends, you know, I don't know, on how like your brain works. Cause I don't mind like stuff like going fast and like jumping back and forth. Like, I don't really mind if the narrative's not like point A to B. But I understand how that can be like kind of annoying. I think it also like depends. Cause I already like wasn't taking this movie like super serious, you know? So I wasn't like expecting to like, you know, get everything
Right. All the time. What is my story arc? I think it really did tie everything together, though.
I agree.
I was saying, like, you watch so many movies like from this era and this type where you're like, what the fuck? But it actually,
it did come together. Like it pulled through.
Yeah. There were like threads that connected.
And even if it didn't all like connect or like become relevant towards like the end plot, it still like made sense.
Yeah.
Like the stuff with like Paul, I feel like fell out of place in some ways to me. And like some moments, you know, like the rib stuff, I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah. So that must have been like, that's one of four stories.
Yeah, like
is
exactly.
This guy who lives in, or has this experience
but
with this
woman.
But
then it ties back into the doctor visiting him and like stuff like that happening. And like, it's still like, you know, interesting and doesn't like, I don't feel like take away from the plot.
Yeah, I thought it did feel like it was going to be one of those meandering, like, what the fuck? And then it wasn't. Kind of. I don't know.
Yeah. I would say that the sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque backwoods storyline did go on for a little bit longer than maybe it needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in that is sort of cartoonish, including like the two horny, like random dudes that are thrust into
the
situation.
Sperm donors, the would-be.
Yeah. They're just as cartoonish as the yokels. So. But it is funny. There is some notable moments in that whole sequence. But
yeah, yokel stuff can be tedious. For you know, I feel like it's one of those things where like, A, it's been done. Like how I feel sometimes about the like running through the woods slasher. Then again, we come back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm like, I love it. But like, it is sort of like making fun of poor people. I don't know.
Well,
like it's just a thing that's been done and done. And we're like, yes, some people, you know, fuck their cousin and live in a cabin somewhere.
Well, it's
and
not even like poor people. Like, don't do poor people like that. Like, that's
no,
not
no,
poor
no,
people.
No, but
that's
I'm
like,
saying that it is, some of it is like people without resources that are getting like
on the outskirts,
othered and like made fun of because they are like not participating
in like the conventional.
In, mainstream
I'm used
society.
To it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. There's only so many ways you can illustrate that someone is a yokel.
But it's
also
scary. I mean, like, it is something that has some punt. It's scary. Like, the idea of being somewhere, like, camping, and suddenly you realize you're, like, on somebody's fucking homestead, and they're gonna, like, pickle your eyeballs.
And they don't
it's
follow
scary.
Yeah. Have you met my family?
Oh, my God. No.
Well, they're all dead, so you don't have to worry about
it. They are not all dead. And they're not yokels.
Agree to disagree. So there's, I read one little thing in a review and I wish I would have noted it, but I got brain fog. But somebody noted, as I mentioned when I was going through the rundown of the details, that there were primarily Australian soap opera stars kind of rounding out the cast of this film. And somebody mentioned that they wondered or thought it would be funny that Philip Broffy decided to just make a film where he got to just like decimate a bunch of cheesy soap opera stars, which I think is a funny concept. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I do like it. I do like the thought of like, oh, I'm just going to put together a cast of cheesy soap opera stars
and
just
like
destroy their bodies.
Because it's punching at fitness culture and like mall cult. I mean, you know, that whole kind of, which that is something
very
I
early
about.
90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, what would our world be like right now if like we had taken these kind of satirical things like if people were like, oh, we don't want to go that way, we're turning away from commercialism and consumerism and weird, I don't know.
Yeah,
we made the opposite choice, obviously.
Right. Well, one thing I did want to talk about really briefly is just sort of comparison to other body horror, because my gut reaction watching this was, this feels really more like early Peter Jackson, like you noted, than like something like David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
But then also, I feel like there's almost like a trauma element to it or something.
Yes,
it's almost like trauma meets
trauma,
Peter Jackson.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because I was looking up trauma. I literally looked up, is trauma Australian today? Because I was
made
is
in
it?
The USA, baby.
Is it? And it is. It's American.
Midwest, yep. I think, right? Like,
I don't know.
Team Trauma's from
Independent Film Company.
Anyways, that's just a thought. There may be, I mean, anytime you get into gross stuff, you can't not talk about Cronenberg, but I feel like he tends to lean a little more serious, even if he is being a little tongue in cheek, where this is just This is full on comedy horror. I think it's, you know, I feel like you could maybe plug the comedy horror tag on this and get away with it pretty easy.
The color palette is so different too. You know, definitely. Like Cronenberg is like industrial grays and blacks, and this was like day glow or like not quite, but like quite colorful.
It is quite colorful. All right. You got any other analysis you want to do? You want to put the anal in analysis?
I love that.
Nice analysis.
Thank you. Oh, we got to do our like to be like. I feel like, is there anything anyone feels like we missed? I think we hit all the.
I think we hit the big key things I had on my list.
The rest is a sweet, sweet surprise.
Yeah, no, it's worth it for all the like, it's fun. I guess while I'm already saying that, should I go?
You go, girl.
It was just fun. And yeah, like Cody said, I just love practical effects. Like when you had to figure out how, and people are still doing it that way. Like when you had to figure out how to like get this thing from your brain onto a screen with some semblance of like believability, you know, and that's one of the things I think we all like about horror movies is like, I mean, none of us likes to watch people die, but having it be some like ridiculous. Okay, Cody does.
Yeah.
But like having it be so over the top that it's not like you feel bad for the person. And there were a lot of those kind of.
It's creative too. You're like, wow.
Yeah, it's creative. It's a creative movie. I like that about it.
I agree. Yeah, I liked it. Again, I love movies like this. I'm a big B-horror film fan. It reminded me of like a couple of my favorite movies ever. You know, it's definitely like, I would say not like on par with them, not to be mean. It's just not like my personal favorite, but I really enjoyed this movie a lot. I think it's like a super solid B gross out film. And I love Aussie horror, and I feel like I haven't really like explored it that much. And I honestly should, because every single time I do, I have a great time. Mm. And I had a great time watching this movie. I've watched this movie twice and I've enjoyed it a lot, and I will watch it thrice. So there you go.
Thrice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm never going to complain about a bucket full of practical gore and goo and all of that. So that's there. In ass loads. Love that. I love the comedy, even though it does veer a little bit too silly for me from time to time. The, like we talked about earlier, struggle a little bit with the way the narrative sort of goes in disparate directions, even though it does try to get it back at the end. Feels a little loose to me. I never really got invested in any of the characters, so sometimes that's a challenge I have, but on the level of just like, this is straight fun, man, you nailed it on fun. I gotta say, this is a hell of a movie. Like if you just want to like watch something and laugh and be grossed out, can't do wrong putting this on, I don't think.
Yeah. Speaking of grossed out, I don't actually get grossed out by much, and snot really is.
Oh, the snot thing, man.
There's a lot of fucking snot in this movie, and that is like one thing that actually, I feel like I had my face kind of covered at parts because
I gagged. I hate snot, man.
There is a lot of snot. I think it was short, too, which kind of helps with the silliness, right? Wasn't it? Not very long.
It's pretty short, yeah.
Yeah, so that really does help when you have kind of a meandering, gross, exploding thing to not like make it drag.
Yeah, true, for sure. True. Yeah, it does move pretty quick. Okay, let's do a little bit of business on this. We got 4,000 IMDb votes, 54 critic reviews, 4 Rotten Tomato reviews, and this is available on at least 6 places, as I can tell right now. And plus, we got some Blu-rays and DVDs out here. All in all, a score of 3.5 on Obscurity, based on our bullshit ranking rating meter deal. A little bit low, but that doesn't mean anything, does it?
No.
All right. Do you want to do the thing that we do?
Is it time?
Dun, dun,
dun. I'm going to keep my eyes wide open and just stare everyone down.
He's changed.
I'm going to close my eyes.
Yeah, I'll probably close my eyes just because I don't want anybody to see me farting.
Wait, we're gonna see what? It? How does that make sense if he closes his eyes? Yourself won't see you farting? Okay,
well, I won't see you see me.
Oh, got it, got it.
All right, here we go. On the count of three, with the shit and the piss. 3, 2, 1.
I knew this was going to happen.
Back to the OG voting block.
All right.
Back to we're blocking once again.
Here we go. This is what we got. We got a 1 down and a 2 up. I was the lonely down today. And as I noted, I thought this was fun. It just didn't quite hit hard enough for me to rank it as a gem.
I think wouldn't you recommend it to someone that wanted just like a fun?
I might.
I get what you mean though, because like, I think it's a gem for a particular type of person. Like for me, it is. Like I really enjoyed it, but you know, in terms of like, I don't want to say like quality, because I feel like in a way to me, this was a very high quality film.
Yeah,
but
there
like,
was some thought in
the sense like that, you know, like some people enjoy like horror films that aren't just like gross out fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say it's like scary per se either.
No, it's not scary.
So like that makes sense to me. That's reasonable. But I would definitely recommend this to people.
Me too.
No, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. No, just, you know, we were talking about all of the body horror films earlier, and you know, if I was recommending body horror to people that hadn't seen it, this wouldn't be very high on that list.
No, you wouldn't want to start here.
Same with Australian horror. It wouldn't be very high on that list either. So I'm trying to think of like, where and when would I actually recommend this to someone
like us that's watched a lot of horror movies that already has exhausted like the canon, right? Like
that's fair enough. Okay, what the hell is happening now? I don't know. By the time you, our dear viewers or listeners, listen to this, our co-host here, Miss Buggy, will be in Peru, I think.
I'm going to be gone.
And she'll be 21.
Not yet. But it'll be pretty dang close.
It'll be like the eve or some shit.
Yeah, it'll be pretty close.
Yeah.
And what about you?
What about me?
What are you going to be doing?
Nothing. I'm going to be doing nothing.
Okay.
A Christmas warrior.
That's right.
Christmas warrior. We're going to figure out what we're doing next. Technically, it's Beth's turn to pick a movie, but we don't know how we're going to work this thing. I know we talked about guests. Our friend Tom has a movie picked out already.
Oh, well, maybe we can get Tom to record.
You know, the thing is, I don't know how to use Zoom and all that shit, so we have to try to get people in an actual room to record with us. So that'll
be
a challenge.
You know how to use Zoom.
I don't know. I know how to spell it. X.
Zoomb.
U-M-E.
Zoomba.
Anyways, we're going to figure out what to do next. So hang on to your buttholes, keep them sucked in, and wait for us to stand by and
stand back and stand down and what did our leader say? I don't know.
Stop your the steal. Own butts.
Perfect.
We'll have an episode though while you're gone at least.
Yeah. We will. All right. Thanks everybody.
Bye.
Body whore.
La, la, la.
In real life.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. We'll be right back.